This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We wish you a warm Christian Crusaders welcome on this beautiful summer day. Is it necessary to have a certain spiritual experience in order to be a child of God? And are those who haven't had one considered defective Christians? We're going to talk about how to enter the kingdom of God in this week's message entitled, Born of the Spirit. Please join us.
When Nicodemus came to Jesus in the darkness of night, so that other Jewish people wouldn't know that this prominent religious leader was consulting with a country prophet, Nick asked questions about the things of God, and Jesus was very direct. To be in the kingdom of God, you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. This is a profound and central truth to the Christian faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to ask that your Holy Spirit would open our minds and our spirits to what you have to teach us today. Kindle within us fresh faith, that we also may be born anew, born of your Spirit to be a part of your magnificent kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The gospel today is in John chapter 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you're a teacher who's come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you're doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born if he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," asked Jesus, "and you don't understand these things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one come from heaven, the Son of Man. For just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." So Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. What do we know about him? He was a powerful religious leader, a member of the Sanhedrin, very successful monetarily and in people's view. He was well-educated, even a teacher of the people. But in his inner spirit, Nicodemus still longed for something else. Something was missing. He was very much physically alive, but spiritually he was without life. Still, his mind, his heart was open. He was not a part of the kingdom of God, Jesus said. Yet he was seeking, and he comes to Jesus with his questions and desires. Jesus says directly, "Unless you're born again, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless you're born of the Spirit, you cannot be a part of God's kingdom." Now, it is true that God, because of his infinite capacities, is always a mystery greater than our ability as human beings to understand. So these things Jesus says to Nicodemus are a mystery. We don't understand how to be born again, where the power comes from, and we have no capacity to give ourselves new life. A person must be born again, born from above, born of the Spirit. Now, when we hear this, we have a danger that we would think that to be among the saved, among God's people, that it requires a certain spiritual experience in order to legitimize the vitality of our faith life. The second danger might be that any of us would take our own spiritual encounter with God, our own spiritual journey of faith or language of faith, and project it as normative for all people. And that if we haven't had the right experience, or we don't say it just right, we become judges of others who aren't just like us. That's not right. It isn't helpful. Yet we all have the universal need for the Spirit to give birth for us to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus uses as the analogy of birth, which is interesting. Though psychologists tell us we might remember deep in our subconscious, do you really remember the day of your birth? Weren't we passive totally? We had no power to conceive life or come forth from the womb. It was all the power of our mother's body bearing down to bring us into this world. And life is God's gift. So we really do understand Nicodemus's bewilderment when he asked Jesus, "How can I be born a second time? Am I supposed to get back in my mommy's womb to be born?" Yet Jesus is trying to differentiate for Nicodemus and us about the difference between physical life and spiritual life, between being in the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. He's talking about a spiritual dimension. Let's realize that the power for birth into the kingdom of God is all God's action, not ours. Missionary Don Richardson, in a book he wrote entitled Peace Child, tells of his mission endeavors in the country of Papua New Guinea. He struggled to find the right language or imagery to convey the gospel to these primitive natives living in the jungles of New Guinea. They were a warring people, so much so that in their hearts they became weary of the fighting, the bloodshed, the killing, the death, the loss. So they, in their leadership of tribes, proposed to enter into a peace covenant. And to seal the covenant, they mutually decided that a young couple of their tribe would offer their newborn son to the enemy tribe for the adversarial tribe to raise as their own. Thus, the child embodied the agreement of peace between the peoples. The scripture in the gospel tells of God giving the best he had to give, his son Jesus Christ, to us, that he would become the Prince of Peace, the peace child who reconciles sinners everywhere of every age to God, our Heavenly Father. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, it says in 2 Corinthians 5. And in Ephesians 2, it says, Jesus is our peace, who breaks down the barrier of the dividing wall and unites us all to a relationship with God. By the blood of Jesus, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 5, it says, justified by faith, we have peace with God in Jesus' name. Jesus also uses the analogy of the wind. We know we can't see the wind, but we see how it works, how it moves, how it impacts our created world. And human beings all through history have found creative ways to harness the wind's power, raising sails on majestic ocean sailing ships, or constructing wind turbines to utilize the power and turn it into electricity. We prepare to receive a power outside ourselves from the wind and transition it to our benefit. So it says in John 1, Jesus came to his own people, but his own people didn't receive him. But as many as received him, to them God gave the power to become the children of God, who are born not of the flesh or of the will of man, but who are born by the will of God. So we, like receiving the wind, receive Jesus. It also says Jesus used the image of he being lifted up as the Son of Man on the cross, suspended between God in heaven and humanity on earth as the one we look to. He compared it to Moses and the people journeying through the wilderness. They were in a state of rebellion and grumbling and unbelief, and so God sent a plague. And God then instructed Moses to put a snake up on a pedestal, on a pole, and that the people, in realizing their sin and realizing their powerlessness, would turn and look to that bronze serpent, and God would heal them and forgive them, and they would be well. Jesus says that's his life, coming to hang suspended between heaven and earth on the cross, and we can be spiritually graced by God for a simple look at Jesus on the cross. The other way to talk about it is we simply in prayer ask Jesus to come in. Like it says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold," Jesus says, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." We simply invite Jesus into our hearts and lives, asking God to do for us what he has promised. Anne Graham Lotz, in her book, Just Give Me Jesus, tells a story of her father, the famous evangelist Billy Graham. Billy Graham was seated at a welcoming dinner in his honor, attended by civic, business, religious, and political leaders in the Eastern nation that had invited him to hold a series of evangelistic meetings. The man seated next to him at the table was the archbishop of the dominant religion in the country. During the course of the dinner conversation, Graham asked the archbishop when he'd become a Christian. The man's eyes glistened with emotion. He put down his fork and proceeded to tell Billy Graham his spiritual story. He'd been installed as the bishop in his country, in his church, and he was invited to Chicago to give a lecture in a prominent theological school. He accepted the invitation and found himself in the heart of the Windy City. One afternoon, in an effort to do some sightseeing, he boarded a Chicago bus. No sooner had he taken his seat when a big, long finger tapped him on the shoulder. He turned to look around into the full, round, beautiful, ebony face of an obviously poor woman seated behind him. In a wonderfully rich voice, she asked, "Mister, has you been born again?" He frowned, thinking for sure he had misunderstood her question, since English was his second language. With polite reserve, he asked, "Excuse me?" The deep, rolling voice repeated, "I says, has you been born again?" The archbishop stiffened his back, straightened his shoulders, and replied with the greatest dignity, "Madam, I am the archbishop of the church in my country. I'm here to give a lecture at a theological seminary. Just then the bus rolled to a stop. The woman rose to get off. She looked at this proud, religious man dressed in his flowing robes, bearing the bejeweled insignia of his office, and persisted bluntly. "Mister, that ain't what I asked you. I asked you, has you been born again?" Then she turned and walked off the bus and out of his life. But the Archbishop told Graham. Her words rang in his ears and burned in his soul. He went back to his hotel room, found the Gideon Bible in the dresser drawer, opened to the Gospel of John, and read the familiar story of Nicodemus. With increasing clarity and conviction, the Archbishop knew that even with all his religious training and devotion and service and recognition, he'd never been born again. So he slipped down on his knees. And that night in a Chicago hotel room, thousands of miles from his home, God answered his heart's cry and gave him Jesus to enter his heart. What a marvelous story of the power of God to honor our simple prayer to receive Jesus to come in. This is a mystery, being born again into the kingdom of God. I think of Luther's special Christmas hymn where lyric says, "Ah, holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today." When the Virgin Mary in Luke chapter 1 was visited by Gabriel and told she would be the mother of our Lord, with appropriate question she asked, "How could this be?" Gabriel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you. Therefore the child, the Holy One, will be called the Son of God. For nothing is impossible with God." And I love Mary's faith response, which can be our prayer to be born again, born of the Spirit, into the kingdom of God. "I am the Lord's servant," she said. "Let it be done for me just as you have said." Mary's heart was a welcome to the Holy Spirit of God to bring new life into her physical body. So we also do the same. It's a few years ago when I saw a gripping picture on the front page of a Dallas, Texas newspaper. On the front was a woman. As you read the article, you learned it was a mother who just a few days ago had tragically lost her son in a car accident. But the picture showed this woman with her head laying against the chest of a strange man that she had just met moments before. Why would this mother, this woman, lay her head on the chest of a stranger? Because that man was the recipient of her son's donated heart. When she laid her head on the chest of that strange man, she heard the heartbeat of her son, now giving life to this man. So I ask you, if God in heaven were to lay his head on your chest, would he hear the heartbeat of his son Jesus? Have you been born again? Have you been born of the Spirit? It's as simple as being receptive to the Holy Spirit's power birthing new life in us. It's as simple as looking to Jesus on the cross, whose blood shed promises to forgive our sin and grace our lives. It's as simple as a prayer saying, "Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus." God will give us new life. God will birth us into his kingdom. God will keep every promise for us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the precious truths of your word. Thank you for the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for this story of Jesus' conversation with Nick at night, where we learn about being born of the Spirit, born again into your kingdom. In your kingdom, Lord, as we worship you as our King and Lord, may we revel in your grace and live in the hope of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's gospel message has encouraged you to be receptive to the Holy Spirit's power as he births new life in us. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent upon the free will gifts of our listening audience. Many people choose to remember a loved one with a memorial gift. Memorial gifts are sometimes given to remember a very special person on their birthday or another meaningful occasion. If you would like to make a donation in loving memory of someone, send it to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. We thank all those who support this ministry with their prayers and gifts. We invite you to visit our website where you can find a printed and audio version of today's program, as well as numerous past episodes of Christian Crusaders programs. Visit us anytime at www.christiancrusaders.org. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing cost is always appreciated. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and pray you can join us again next week on this station. Conducting our service was the Reverend Lee Lavig, pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Spencer, Iowa, and associate speaker on Christian Crusaders. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continuously since 1936.